141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As the switch from Cup to Premiership action slowly starts, the dust is beginning to settle on the semi-finals, which will see Celtic and Rangers meet in that final. We'll hear from Joe Hart on that penalty, and Cyril Dessers, who thinks the Ibrox side can do beautiful things this season. And Stevie Clark looks set to be able to name 26 players for the Euros. So who should get the nod? I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me two men who will still probably miss out in Gordon DL and Kenny Miller. It was quite the weekend, Gordon DL, and now full steam ahead to the return of the top flight as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Terrific finish to the end of the season. You've got a great league campaign going head to head, and then you're obviously looking forward to the icing on the cake, the Scottish Cup final between the big two. At the weekend there, it was really exciting. They got off to a terrific start, you've got to say. Celtic and Aberdeen, what a game. That will live in the memory of a lot of people for a long, long time. And then Rangers and Hearts on the Sunday, and it was just a case of semi-final. Was it as exciting and good? Probably not, but Rangers won't care. It was all about getting to the final. And that man Dessers, who's been under a little bit of pressure, comes up with a brace and everything to look forward to.
Absolutely is, and I think after the post-match comments of Cyril Dessers as well, it just kind of stokes up the title race as well. So it's all to play for, like you say, the bottom of the league as well. There's going to be big fixtures. There's still a lot to play for in relation to playoff spaces. There's still a lot to play for in the European slots as well. So all to play for. It's not just the title at the top with the big two. We've got a lot to play for with these weekends coming up.
Sometimes we're almost winding down, because I know it's the business end of the season, but sometimes the league title looks pretty much done and dusted by this point. But this is far from it. Every single day it feels like the intensity is cranking up. Some summers as well, we've got very little to look forward to. There is a Euros, in case you hadn't noticed, and it looks like the squad will be increased. Not 100% confirmed, but looks like it's going to be increased from 23 to 26. So what does that mean? And a few injuries there as well. So who gets the nod? Get your wild card shouts in. Who could sneak in at the last minute to that Euro squad? I don't expect that to be the number one topic. I'm sure lots of you are still desperate to share thoughts on those cup semi-finals, the title race, whether it's Cyril Dessers, Joe Hart, Fabio Silva, whoever caught the eye for whatever reason at the weekend. Tuesday night tends to be still very much about that. If you want to look forward to it, we are happy to do so. It really is up to you. 0141 951 1025. And like I say, it's not like that's the only topic in town. Have a wee think about it, maybe for later on in the show, or get your calls in right now on that Euro squad. If it is 26, who could sneak in there? Who could make that? Is it someone entirely left field? I don't know if that's a Steve Clark thing to do, or is it someone that's not been capped in a couple of seasons? You could tell us. Get your suggestions over right now. 0141 951 1025. It was quite the weekend though, Gordon Deal. In different ways, I suppose. There's no point in lying. Maybe Sunday was never going to live up to Saturday. And maybe, well, I think definitely the Rangers fans are probably happy about that, in the sense that the heart rate could stay at a bit more of a steady pace than if you were a Celtic fan on Saturday. But we said it, it's always one of the highlights of the calendar, of Scottish Cup semi-final weekend. Our cup is still so important to us up here, and I think you could see that at the weekend.
Yeah, I think for any of the four teams, it was just a case of try to get to that final, because once the final kicks off and whoever wins it, nobody remembers semi-finals. But I said earlier tonight, I think a lot of people will remember Celtic Aberdeen with excitement. Celtic had the game won, of course they did, but all credit to Aberdeen, showed a lot of courage. And Aberdeen fans must be thinking, where is that commitment in the league campaign? Because they were really struggling this season. But Celtic got the job done in penalty kicks. I know people say it's a lottery. Even that got exciting when Joe Hart stepped up, and he was unfortunate to miss one, then becomes the instant hero with a good save. And then it was over to Rangers and Hearts must have fancied Sunday, especially after the form of Rangers against Ross County and Dundee. Rangers were under a little bit more pressure than normal, still went into the game favourites. But I've got to be honest, I never looked at that game and thought that Hearts had a real chance of getting to the final. I thought Rangers were in control of it. It wasn't the greatest game, but it's all down to scoring goals. And when the chances come along, especially early on for Rangers with Dessers, I thought he took his first goal absolutely brilliantly. He comes in for a bit of stick because we hear it time and time again. Oh, he misses so many chances to get two goals. Kenny O'Toole's a centre forward. We've all missed chances. The greatest Rangers striker, Ali McCoy's, missed a lot of chances. One after that, the same sort of bracket. Derek Johnston, I played with Derek. Terrific centre forward, terrific goal scorer. Missed a lot of chances. But it's when the big moments come along, you've got to take them. And I think sometimes you've got to pat guys in the back rather than just look at the negative of, oh, how many chances does he take to put the ball in the net? He scored two for Rangers. They're in the final and it sets us up for a great end of the season.
Even in your long, illustrious career and however many spells you had at Rangers and even Celtic, which I can't, I've lost count, you wouldn't have played in the Scottish Cup final between the sides. That is incredible, isn't it? Yeah. 2002, I was in first or second year at high school.
Outrageous.
To make you feel old.
It really is. 2002, 22 years since the Scottish Cup's been an Old Firm final, you know. So it's obviously there's been a lot of semi-finals along the way, and again, obviously both teams have lost games that they probably shouldn't have lost or felt they shouldn't have lost. But it is, it's incredible when you think it's the big two have not stayed away from each other and no made the showpiece at the end of May. So it's one everybody's eyes will be on. Like for both sets of teams, obviously there's a league to go and win. You know, there's five games before that, and the firm focus will be on those games starting this weekend. But again, you can't help but look to the 25th of May for an Old Firm Scottish Cup final. What an event at the end of the season.
01419511025. That is the number Justin has dialed tonight. How's it going, Justin?
I'm good. How are you guys doing? All right?
Not bad. Can't complain. What are you thinking tonight?
I'm on to retract some of the comments. I've kind of backtracked a bit in some of the comments I've made about Cyril Dessers. Gordon, you just stole my thunder a wee bit 2 seconds ago, but I've been critical of Dessers, and like many Rangers fans have been since, you know, he's come in. Yeah, he misses chances. He looks at points lethargic in how he goes about things, but I've really watched him since the Celtic game. And the Celtic game, I heard people run about me criticising him and afterwards criticising him. He ran his heart out in the Celtic game and he got absolutely no service whatsoever from anybody alongside him. But he was still chasing people down, running the channels when nobody was supporting him. So I've really paid more attention to him over the last few games that he's played. I thought he's against Hearts in the semi-final, I thought he's brilliant. I thought, like Gordon, I thought he took his first goal absolutely phenomenally. I think there's genuinely a player in there. I think you need to play him, or the players run a bit of him need to understand how to link up with him better. Maybe Kenny would shed some light on that. But I think you've got Seema, who's quite direct and likes to score. You've got Cantwell, who's quite direct and likes to score. Maybe not on the same level, but the way I've been looking at it is the way, for example, Fernando Torres played with Chelsea. You had Hazard, Lampard, that were all goal-scoring midfielders or wingers that didn't really play to Torres' strengths. I know it's a slightly, I'm not saying that Dessers is Torres, but
Don't you try and take it back. This clip's going on YouTube, Justin. Justin says Cyril Dessers is the next Fernando Torres. You've said it now, don't take it back.
I'm just trying to give a kind of comparison to the kind of style of play, if you know what I mean. But I think there's a player in there that needs to play to his strengths and his work rate. I think somebody playing off him, I think you would get a lot more out of Dessers.
Kenny, take it away.
Listen, he's scored 19 goals now. I would say Betis was a big goal away. Those two on Sunday were huge. You know, a semi-final, it's the two goals that I've put Rangers in a final and a chance to lift more silverware. And I said it myself after the game on Sunday that maybe a lot of there's been so much focus on Cyril Dessers pretty much since the first ball was kicked at the start of the season, and it was, who is going to be the number nine that's going to go and get the 20, 25 goals and shoot the team to glory? And nobody really took it, you know, and he has been the focus of a lot of criticism. In terms of his numbers stack up, you know, he'll probably end up, I would say, 22, 23 goals come the end of the season. That's no penalties, by the way, as we know, because James Tavernier takes the penalties, which is, again, quite rare that a striker might not be taking penalties. So his numbers could have been boosted with that opportunity if he'd been on them. But I think it's something that has been harsh, but there is so much else just surrounding the goals. And listen, like I said, the focus has been on, like Gordon says, maybe the negative stuff, rather than actually looking right, okay, what does he bring to the team? Well, firstly, he has brought a decent lively goal. Yes, there's a lot of chances. Everybody misses chances. The best, when you touched on some Rangers players, listen, the best, the Messi's, the Ronaldo's of this world miss a lot of chances. You know, as forward players, you probably, I mean, you definitely miss more than you score. So it's maybe a little bit unfair because it has been solely directed at him pretty much since a ball's kicked, since he's walked through the door at Ibrox. By the way, he's had to play as well. He's had to be up there every, most weeks. I know he was left out in the Dundee game for, like, to rest and to give other players minutes, as Philippe Coumont says. But he's had to be the guy because everybody else has been injured. So he's had to front it. He's had to continually put himself out there to be shot at. And you know what? He's no hid away when he's fronted in front of the media. He's always done it with a smile on his face. So he probably does deserve a little bit more credit. Mm. And by the way, let's not get away from it. It's his first season at a huge football club where the demands and expectations will be nothing that he's ever experienced before as well. So, yeah, maybe he deserves a little bit of credit. However, there's got to be more involved than everything else that we do see. The all-round game, the link-up play, like, he does work hard. You know, he's not the quickest. So, listen, maybe Justin's got a point. Maybe his teammates need to understand how he is as a player and maybe serve him a little bit better.
How far are we taking this praise, Justin? Is it, look, he deserves a bit more credit? Or is it, this guy can definitely be Rangers' number one striker again next season and take the team forward?
I think Kenny's hit the nail kind of right in the head, to be honest with you, in the fact that, you know, he's got a rock iron chin by the looks of things, and sorry for that, a weird analogy, but he's coming out in front of the press, he's showing his heart, he's not shying away from anything, he's not going hiding, he's not doing bizarre things like doing triple back somersaults over a ball 3 yards out like Silva's doing. There's none of that. He just keeps pressing ahead, he keeps trying to get better, he keeps pushing down defenders. And I watched him in the Celtic game, as I'm sure you guys did. You know, Scott Wright didn't press with him properly at times. Neither did Silva press at times. And he was running down the back four of Celtic on his own. But he never stopped. He's constantly doing the same thing. So with somebody that's got that kind of work ethic and that kind of determination to win the fans over, and he's got, like Kenny says, 19 goals so far this season on a team that's maybe not scoring a lot of goals at points, that aren't creating maybe as much as we should. Yeah, he's missing them. But like Gordon said earlier on, he has scored crucial goals at crucial times. I think he's got to get a bit more consistent with that. But I think the players run about him need to understand how to show him his best and how to give him the opportunities that best suit how he plays. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think they're maybe doing that now.
I just wonder about this line that you say it quite often, and I do get it. You know, Ali McCoist missed chances, but Kenny's quite right. Every player misses more than they score. That's the whole point. I just wonder if that's a bit of an easy line. Because ultimately, is he as good as Ali McCoist?
Right now, no. No, he's nowhere near.
So the fact that he missed chances and Cyril Dessers missed chances, I wonder how relevant that actually is. Obviously, the real question is, how many do you miss versus how many do you score, and how many big goals do you score? Because everybody will miss more than they score, but what's that balance like?
We can sit here and pick the negatives about.
No, that's the thing. This is not meant. That's not designed to be negative to Cyril Dessers, but just this notion that, well, they all miss chances. I know that, but at some point we have to analyse it a bit closer.
Do you know what I like about him? Right, and I'm probably like every other Rangers supporter or neutral that watches Dessers. One week you see him, you think, yeah, there's a lot there with him. The following week, you could change your mind completely and say, oh, he's not good enough to take Rangers forward. And I think that's where the lad is just now with his Rangers career. The thing I like about him is people talk about the negative of how many chances he misses to get his goals. I would rather have that than looking at a striker and going, do you know what? He's never not in the right position. Yeah. To get those chances. So it tells me that he's got a football brain to get into the positions, to get the chances from maybe a final pass or a ball through the. So for me, that's positive. Yes, would you like him to have a better return and scoring more of the chances? 100%. But at least he's coming off the pitch and thinking, do you know what? See if it clicks in next week, I'll probably score 3 or 4. he's put Rangers into a final with two good goals.
Thank you to Justin on the line. Justin was a Rangers fan, of course. Let's bring in Stevie, who's a Celtic fan. What are you thinking tonight, Stevie?
Well, what am I thinking tonight, Gordon?
What a season this has been.
What a season it's been. Right. Well, I'm going to be honest with you, Gordon. We'll go back to the old Firm game that ended up a draw. I said before that game, I fancy Rangers to go on and win this league. Given the fact that what's happened, losing at Dundee, etc., for Rangers, I now think Celtic will go on and win the league. And the reason for that being, Gordon, Celtic's been here before. They've been down this road before. Rangers haven't been here before. Celtic's been here before. And I personally think, I know Celtic's got hard games. And I'm telling you, Gordon, and Kenny, I'm telling you now, Celtic will drop points. There'll be points dropped by both teams before the end of this season. But Celtic's been here before, and Celtic know how to win a league title. That's why I'm now thinking Celtic have now got to be favourites to win this league.
You know what's fascinated by this week? Because Stevie's right, no attention obviously turning back to the title race. When you're going to cup semi-final, the priority is obviously just to get through to the final. But also as a sort of subplot, for both it was important for their title race confidence and momentum not to be dented by going out the cup. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Had Celtic gone out, it would have been, oh well, hold on a minute, they're not as good a place as people thought. And had Rangers gone out, that whatever last week was then turns into a full blown crisis. You can never really separate it, can you?
No, you can't, because like, I mean, you've just summed it up perfectly. Had Celtic lost on that penalty shootout, all that they've got left is going to be the league, which has been in the balance now for a number of weeks. Had Rangers not went through, that would have been a disastrous week. Drop points at Ross County, a loss. Drop points at Dundee with a draw, and then out of the Scottish Cup. You've been real talk of a treble leading into that week, and potentially you could have been left with what you've already got, which is the League Cup. So it could have been really, really bad psychologically for either team. Listen, both of them have come through. Rangers have now ended that bad week on a real positive. Celtic have continued their positivity, because by the way, again, they came through it. The one question I would have for Stevie actually is when he says Celtic have been here before and been through it. Like, I'm asking, what have they been through before? Do you mean winning? Because what they've never been through, this group, is a real tight league title race where they're getting pushed. They've had it all their own way pretty much, apart from the one season where Rangers ran away with it. So I agree that they've been over the course and distance and they're serial winners. There's no taking that away from that. But in relation to this title and how it's moving forward, there's far more pressure on even this Celtic group than what they've ever had going for a league title as well.
What do you think, Stevie?
I do agree with what Kenny's just said there. Totally agree with you, Kenny, but what a meaning in it is. Yes, it's going to be hard for Celtic in these last remaining games. And I still say they will drop points. But Celtic has been down this road. They know what they need to do to win the title. And I think that's what it's going to come down to. I'm not saying that Celtic will win this by three points or whatever. I think it could be the odd point this season could finish. It could finish by 1 point. And that's me just being totally honest. I've never seen a season so close in such a long time. And we're still talking about it the now, who could potentially win this league.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, and Postecoglou's first season was probably closer than people remember it, to be fair. It's not always been miles, but before Kenny contradicts me, it obviously wasn't as close as this at this point. You know, it still took them into, what was that, a couple of games to go to wrap it up. So, I don't know, Gordon, the course and distance thing, I think you would obviously rather have it than not, I suppose. You just wonder how much it actually affects
well,
things.
Well, sitting here right now, you can pick negatives about the cup ties, right? You could pick negatives on Celtic's defence, losing goals, and, you know, they had the game wrapped up and they lost goals and it went to penalty kicks, and you can pick negatives on that. You could pick negatives on, well, Rangers, they didn't look as sharp as what they should have on Sunday, but still get the job done. So Sunday and Saturday doesn't come into my thinking with the league. I think the league's completely different. Cup football's cup football. League football's completely different for me. There's five massive games to go. If you're asking me right now, if I'm sitting here and I'm honest, who would I say is favourites? I think it's Celtic. I've got to be honest with you because I've got three games at home.
I'm glad you've been honest. Right? Why would you lie?
Right. You know me, Gordon. I'm a serial liar.
I know that.
And they've two away. And plus the fact, I think that if you're a Rangers fan, and I do think it'll be close, I've said it from a month now, it'll go down to Celtic Park for me, right? Because I look at two fixtures coming up, Rangers and Celtic. St. Man, come on up, yeah, difficult. Celtic, Dundee Hearts at home, difficult. I still think they'll go through them. I think it'll come
Stevie thinks Celtic will drop points out with that game. You don't?
I don't.
No, I don't.
Okay, we'll see. 0141 951 1025. Thank you to Stevie and Justin before him. It's the perfect time for you to join in.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Kenny Miller are here on the usual number. Please give us a call or send us a tweet. Apologies, by the way, to anyone watching on the live stream who saw that disgusting yawn from Gordon Dalziel just as we came out the break. I suppose that's where listening on radio or on your smart speaker or your Clyde One app is a bit safer. But nevertheless, if that sort of thing floats your boat, you're more than welcome to watch the live stream, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. You mean busy today, tiring? You and I were out golfing.
We're out golfing, yeah. Why you're no. My voice coach has been telling me to the muscles in the mouth open and shut. You know what like it is, Kenny?
You should have seen this guy. He's usually steady, but he was in the bushes all day at the constantly.
Every, laughing at Gordon.
Every 2 minutes. Nightmare. He's a nightmare, let me tell you. It's not like him, but anyway.
Never been him again.
We all have our off days, don't we? Let's bring in Billy, who's just along the road in Clydebank. How's it going, Billy?
Not so bad, Gordon. Thank you very much for putting us through your show.
That is our pleasure. Thanks for calling. What did you call about tonight?
It was about Sunday, obviously, for the Rangers game. Mm-hmm. I know Desser scored the double, and I was pleased with that, obviously. But I think the man of the match was absolute Cantwell. Cantwell had a fantastic game on Sunday. And that's one of the best games I've seen him in a wee while. And if he can keep that up, I think, you know, for the next five games, apart from obviously the final, we'll do good. Mm-hmm. Cantwell was absolutely fantastic on Sunday.
I don't know how to break this to you, Billy. I think you might be on the same wavelength as Gordon Dalziel. You were singing his praises at the weekend,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought Cantwell probably. I'm with Billy. Sometimes I'm not a great fan of his. I think he plays for himself. I think he takes up positions that if you're playing with him, you'd be very, very angry with him. He brings defenders because it's all about him. But I've got to say, I thought he was... For me, I know the goal scorer gets man of the match, but Cantwell... And I said it early on, I couldn't understand why Hearts weren't trying to... You know, sort of a stop that the ball's going into him. He was playing in between defence and midfield, picking up some great positions. He set up Dessers for both goals. His work rate for a team I thought was brilliant. So I'm going to give him all credit in the world. Probably his best game in the Rangers jersey for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, Billy said, can't remember the last one. Gordon saying best. And I don't know. I don't have as good a memory on these things, but certainly best in a long while.
In a while, you know. Listen, yeah. Sometimes things come together, and I think the game for me, Stephen Naismith will look on that back, and I was there, I was at the game, and after 3 minutes you could see Campbell was getting too much space in behind Beningame and Devlin. Really surprised again that he never tweaked it to stop that, because he must have been on the ball 15 times in that area of the pitch and driving it again. So I actually thought he was the most influential player on the pitch, there's no doubt about it. I expect Todd Cantwell to have done more with what he had in those moments. I still think he was between him and Balogun for me were the two best players, along with obviously the goal scorer. So
was Diomandi good? I saw him get a bit of praise.
I thought he was okay. Yeah, I thought Diomandi. He definitely improved the midfield of Rangers with him coming back in. There's no doubt about that. But Todd Cantwell was the most influential player in terms of he created the two goals. He was a constant threat, again aided by Hart's inability to stop him. You know, they tried to push George Grant up beside Shanklin to get pressure on the centre-backs, and it never worked. Devlin and Beringame were left to deal with Lindstrom and Diamandi, and Cantwell had the run of Hamden, and he took full advantage of it. You know, he scored both goals. So I agree, what he needs to do is he needs to maintain, because a big thing, not just with Todd Cantwell, by the way, but with a lot of the Rangers team over the course of the season, it's been consistency. He now needs to, at this stage of the season, he now needs to be the one. Because when you're thinking about getting creative players, we're talking about maybe don't create enough chances or this, that, or the other. He's the one player that you think he should be that player. You know, so, and by it was this time last year at the end of the season where he really finished the season really strong. Maybe he's a player that comes into his own at this time of the season. So Rangers will be definitely hoping that is the case.
Just likes the lighter nights or something.
Listen,
something.
The better
sunshine,
weather,
don't we? Sunshine, yeah. From England.
Billy, how confident are you he can potentially be the difference maker between now and the end of the season? Because you only have to go back to the game against Celtic a couple of weeks ago, and he doesn't get the nod to start. You know, it's still maybe not, maybe doesn't have that full trust of the manager in those types of games. Do you think he can, though, between now, like we said, we've got another potential league decider between the sides, there's a cup final to come up. Can you see him being a part of them?
Yeah, hopefully, if he can get his head in gear, and I know he's the same, he's more a, you know, look at me, look at me, look at me. If he can just get his head in gear and say, right, I'm putting it to the team, I think he's a team player. And honestly, if he comes up against Celtic at Celtic Park, I think, obviously, if he gets a the nod, as you say, to start off, and they can actually do the business, I think progression will grow.
Or is there a horses for courses element to this, where, as you say, not to take anything away from Todd Cantwell, but maybe Hart's midfield structure made things a bit easier for him than he might find in other games?
Sometimes games take a certain shape and it allows a player there, like the positions that, I mean, he still needs to get in there, by the way, and when he gets on it, he still then needs to affect the game. But I was absolutely amazed that Stephen Naismith never done something to stop it. You know, it was just allowed for first whistle to last whistle to actually just be there, unopposed, get on the ball freely, take the ball on the back foot, and then go and try and be positive and hurt Hearts. But it's again, for a Rangers fan perspective, you're just hoping that that performance has gave him a lot of confidence, you know, because he has been in the team. It's been a bit of a toss of the coin between Tom Lawrence and Todd Cantwell, who plays in there. In the last Old Firm game, Philippe Clement opted for Lawrence. So,
and if we're being fair, I know he came on, but he didn't really notice much of Tom Lawrence. Was that just me? I didn't really notice much when he came on. Kind of forgot he came on.
And that's where Tom Lawrence or Todd Cantwell, they have to affect the game in a positive way for Rangers, because they are the guys from in that midfield
area. He actually came on later than I thought, so I'll part retract that. He came on a lot later than I thought.
It's not just when he came on, it's actually the games that he started on. You're bang on. He's not probably affected a game for Rangers the way Todd Cantwell affected that game on Sunday.
And the surprising thing about that, Ken, is we've had phone calls here. If it is a toss-up between Lawrence and Cantwell, a lot of Rangers fans want Lawrence in the starting 11. I thought he was poor at Dens, right? I remember watching the game up at Dens against Dundee, and I'm looking, thinking, I forgot he was on the pitch. Cantwell is a player that, for me, has got good ability, but he's only good to you when he becomes a team player. I think sometimes that Clement, in his early stages as a manager at Rangers, got a wee bit exasperated by him, the way he ran about, and it was all about him. I thought at the weekend there, Sunday, he became that team player, not just picking up the ball in those spaces that Kenny quite rightly says. It was when Rangers didn't have the ball, his work rate to go and get it back was brilliant. I thought it was his best game in a long, long time, but he has to keep that up.
Just think of the chance it almost felt with Shankland in the first half. It looked like he was just going to go open up on his right foot and get a shot away. It was Cantwell who had backtracked actually in his own box to stop that chance. So again, see, going back to this time last season, I remember saying and watching, thinking, this guy's working ever so hard for the team as well. You know, he is. I think Todd Cantwell's got unbelievable amounts of ability. I really do. And I just think this season he's not showing enough. Towards the end of last season, you've seen it. But the one thing at the end of last season he was doing, he was working his socks off for the team as well. So again, just what Gordon says, I think you've seen a bit of that there on Sunday in the game. And whether it's time of year, whether it's because he's real, by the way, I've got a real place. Is it about my place to get a start?
Is it a bit more specific than that, though? Because even when he's ineffective, it's not that he doesn't try. I don't think he's not lazy.
No.
And sometimes that goes hand in hand with what Gordon says about players that look like they're playing for themselves a bit. But that's not necessarily the case, is it? Just maybe doing things in the wrong areas. And
I just think he's not looked like he has been particularly enjoying his football this season. You know, and again, as we know, belief, confidence, enjoying it, and having the trust of your manager, it can take you to another level. He's maybe just not been at that stage this season, but it was a really, really good, strong performance for him on Sunday within the team structure, and he affected a game the way that Philippe Clement will expect him. Rangers fans would expect him when he came to the club to affect the game in that positive, creative, goal-scoring, goal-creating type of way. So if he can maintain that, there's no doubt he's probably at this moment maybe just edged it back over Tom Lawrence, because I don't think either of them have really grabbed that slot.
Mm. All right, thank you very much to Billy. What about Colin in Partick? What's your point tonight, Colin?
How are you doing, Gordon? How are you doing, panel?
All good, thanks.
I've got two miniature points to make. One's sort of a repeat topic of the old Lauren Shankland to Rangers one. But what I wanted to ask specifically was, do you think that with all the noise going on about Lauren Shankland, I mean, it seems to be everywhere I go in the city and I speak to, whether it's Celtic or Rangers fans, to be honest, everybody seems to think Shankland to Rangers is just a no-brainer to the point where it's so obvious. And the question I have is, the people that make the decisions at Rangers, do you think that they're actually aware of that, and are they even looking there, or is that just a sort of a fan casting thing? Like, I guess if you look at it in movie terms, everybody has their favourite James Bond or whatever. Like, is it case that, right, okay, you know, we understand he's like the idea, but here's what our actual plans are, and they don't really pay attention to it, I guess.
00 Shankland, there we go.
I would actually like to get right into that conversation. I like James Bond.
I like
well.
That yep. analogy though, I yep. get it.
Who's
is
your favourite?
Is it like people?
Well, listen, I like Daniel Craig. The last one to Boris, yeah, I thought it was superb.
You're old school, aren't you?
Aye.
I thought it was Sean Connery, man. I was thinking a movie. You're talking about the actor. Oh, Roger Moore.
Yeah.
Or Sean Connery. Sean Connery.
Anyway.
You just want to go through them all?
I just named them all. They're all brilliant.
Boys.
I get it from Colin. You know, is it just everybody else saying he should be the next Bond? He should be the next Bond. Rangers should sign Lauren Shankland. Is it actually on Rangers' radar? January would suggest no. Or
yeah,
what do you think?
Listen, I think there's 100% going to be aware of what Lauren Shankland does, and the fact he's a Rangers fan, that there's been a lot of hype and speculation surrounding him. I'm just wondering if, with how Rangers have went about their business in terms of the recruitment in January, if he's obviously no fit in the profile, if you want to talk about in terms of the age and potential resale and things, but what he's going to be bringing is 25 league goals. Like, that's just a fact, as long as he stayed fit. So sometimes you've got to balance it up. I mean, again, there's been a lot of talk this season that potentially the lack of a player like that could cost Rangers in this league title. You know, so it's... I still think he'd be a really, really good signer. I really do. I still felt Rangers probably could have signed him last year. You look at what went on in the summer and the amount of money that was spent in the forward areas of the pitch. Like, Lauren Shankland would have been a fraction of that, and probably a fraction of the contracts as well, by the way. And you would have probably got a better player and a better option. So I still think all that applies. So, but whether he's actually on the radar and he's a realistic target for Niels Coppin and Philippe Clement and anybody else that's involved in that process, I genuinely don't know.
He didn't have a brilliant afternoon on Sunday.
Yeah.
But as Kenny says, the numbers this season, and it's probably more than just the numbers this season.
His overall play. Look, he's terrific. I think the only thing that would put Rangers off, and Kenny touched on it there, he's at a certain age, a resale, because that is important now to clubs. If you're going to get in there and pay Hearts a few quid for him, and he bangs in the goals, there's always comes a time where you'd like to cash in and make a profit, and players, of course, there are. Because the other side of that, the argument is, we hear it every single week, Majovski's, what, 23, 24?
24.
Is he a better option? I'm a Shankland fan. I think he's terrific. Would he score goals with Rangers? All day long. But I think you can go... Look at Dessers, right? Dessers has come in for so much stick. Kenny put a figure on there, 25 league goals. If Dessers has stepped up his game this season...
He might still get there. Well, he wouldn't get league goals.
No, but he would have probably got round about that without even trying.
Colin, so. I know you had a second point where a touch push for time, but let's do a shortened version of it.
The shortened version then... I don't want to put Kenny on the spot, but I'd like to ask...
No, do it, that's what he's here for.
Well, basically, with the way he's played with a lot of different strike partners in his career. So, truth be told, right, if you're playing right now, you see the season that Dessers has had and all the stuff that's going on. I know Kenny's opinion on Dessers. Would you like to play with him for a full season up front? Like, would you, if you're a player, are you wanting him as a strike partner?
Well, listen, there's one thing for sure, I would make him a lot better.
I thought you'd go and say if the money was right.
No, not at all. Listen, I think, again, there's no, see the top teams, there's no many play with front twos now, like in terms of two out and out strikers. I believed I could make a partnership alongside Cyril Dessers. Listen, I would love to play in the Rangers team, you know, I really would. I think the way that teams play now with the 4-3-3, if you've got the right players round about you, you've got the right supporting players from midfield, you're still going to get a lot of goals. This notion that you need to have two forwards, for me, is, listen, some teams it works for. Other teams score hundreds of goals without having the two strikers. But listen, I believe I could have made a partnership with this.
Does he run more than Chris Boyd?
I would probably say he doesn't score anywhere near as many as the big man. So.
Would you come short? Would you be the deep one?
I would be the clever one, wouldn't I? Just floating about and making things happen, and he could just be the target.
There's a sentence you never thought you would hear. 01419511025. Good time to call.
Clyde One Live, celebrating the first 50 years.
Not many tickets left for Clyde One Live. The date should be in your diary by now, Friday the 31st of May. We're taking over the Ovo Hydro alongside some special guests: Amy McDonald, Tom Walker, Callum Beattie, Emily Sandy and Texas. And all next week on Bowie at Breakfast, we're giving you the chance to win your way to Clyde One Live. And all you need to do is listen out for the Clyde One Live Artist of the Day. If you can't wait though, if you're chomping at the bit, go to ClydeOne.com.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Gordon DL with you tonight on 0141 951 1025. If you want to get in touch, please do let them know what you're thinking, whether it's looking back at the Scottish Cup, the title race, anything else that's on your mind tonight. We are here for you. Let's hear a bit from Joe Hart, shall we, after what was a very interesting weekend. He's been given the inside, or the backstory if you like, about the penalty shootout dramatics, and he's got his eyes set on that League and Cup double.
I'm a maniac when it comes to penalty. I always feel like I'm going to save every penalty. I feel like I'm going to score every penalty. But, you know, I'd put my name forward again. I went through my process, just pulled it just too much. But, you know, like I say, I believe in what I do. And unfortunately, I was just saying before, for once it pays off being a goalkeeper, and I was able to try and reprieve myself. It was disappointing when we went out to Kilmarnock early in the League Cup. But other than that, we've stayed right in the competitions that we can. You know, we're going to go right to the wire potentially in the league. And then we've got a date at the end of the season.
Let's bring in Frankie, who's a Celtic fan. What's your take on the weekend's action then, Frankie? Quite a lot to get through.
Hello guys, how are you all night?
Good.
Well listen, I've listened to a couple of callers that's come on over the past maybe day or two from Celtic, and I'm a Celtic fan obviously, and I'm a wee bit disheartened by the way they're responding to the way. Listen, we get through a cup game, it is a cup game, and even whether we get through in penalties or through it in any way whatsoever, we're through, and that's all that matters. But I'm a wee bit disheartened with a couple of callers that would come on and said how bad we played and how we done this and how we done that. And I don't know, it's not sitting right with me.
Because back to something we said earlier, Frankie, about is this the harsh reality? Everything's really about that title race, and those fans are worried that what they saw on Saturday might mean that they drop points in the league. Is that the real reason behind it? Because you're absolutely right, if you were looking at it in isolation, it's just about getting through.
Absolutely, I totally get that. You're bang on the money, Gordon. We played well up to a certain point against the Dons, and but at the end of the day, it's a cup game, and I think the league will take care of itself. And if we win the league, I think it will take us on to winning the cup as well. But I've just been a wee bit disheartened over the last couple of days with the Celtic fans that are calling in and saying that how bad they were, and I just don't get it.
Yeah, it was a bit of negativity last night, I have to say. What do you make of Frankie's take on it?
I agree with him. I don't think going into these last five games will have any bearing of what happened at the weekend. Yeah, you can pick holes in some of the, you know, the goals that Celtic conceded. I heard about the show last night. I know that Liam Scales come in for a little bit of criticism as well. But this is now the league campaign. They know how important it is. Cup football is, and Kenny will tell you, doesn't matter who you play, if it's a lower team or whatever. You look at, right, you look at, for instance, the Cup. Aberdeen have been absolutely shocking in the league. Didn't even make the top six. Finished ninth.
And, finished yet.
Right, well, they're sitting ninth, sorry. And you look at the fact that if you looked at them at the weekend, everybody's wondering, how are they ninth? They should have been up there challenging for third or fourth. Cup football, risen to the, rise to the occasion. League campaigns are a completely different pressure, especially getting into these last five games, because you're thinking, can't really afford to drop many points here, because you know the form of Rangers. Rangers will fancy it, Celtic will fancy it. I wouldn't get too caught up in the cup games. It's all about the league games. And if you're asked, and I said earlier, when I look at the league table, when I look at the fixtures, for me, Celtic are still favourites to go on and clinch the title.
I get that. You know, we talk about cup football being different. I suppose for the fans who are not as positive as Frankie is, they're so probably thinking, yeah, but how different can it be? You know, when you've got a cross ball into your box or whatever, you've got to be alarm that says, oh, this is cup football, so I'll defend it differently.
You know what it is? You've got to also look at, it's the opposition. This was all Aberdeen had. You know, they've had a shocker of a season. Like Gon says, no made the top six. They've been battered for penalty post. They've probably, behind the scenes, made a few bad decisions over the course of the season as well. This was the game. You know, they had a chance to get to another cup final. They'd already been in the League Cup final and just fell short. And the performance was on a different level. You know, these are the players that have been saying, we can, but Aberdeen have got good players. You know, they'll be fine, they'll be this. Well, they actually turned up and performed really, really well. Peter Leaven deserves a lot of credit as well. You know, he got that out of them. I felt his changes were actually really, really good within the game as well. Putting the two up front, getting Sokler up there alongside Mioski, it kind of probably did pose a different threat to Celtic. So.
And then when Celtic put Navrotsky on to try and shore things up,
they concede with the first cross of the ball.
But Aberdeen went, good. Yep. Because now you've got one less attacker, wide player. So Angus McDonald, up you go. Yep. And then he obviously scored.
You know, it was the perfect storm almost for Aberdeen. You know, when I seen Joe Hart miss that pin, I was actually, is it going to be Aberdeen's day? Is it written that they're going to actually do it? And you know what? They took Celtic all the way. I still think Celtic played okay, by the way. They controlled the game. They scored three good goals. But Aberdeen were definitely on a far higher level of performance than
pressure,
what they were all
season. See the difference for me, you're talking about Cup Football League. The difference is quite simple for me. If you get put out of the Cup, that's you for another year. If you lose a league game, you can still recover that situation. And that's where the difference of the games come in. Because you look at Aberdeen. Aberdeen have got a free hit there. There's not got to get them relegated. It's a cup game. It's a semi-final. Got a chance to go to the final.
And they gave it a go.
Yep. And obviously, there was a couple of mistakes made by Celtic. Fine. You have no time to recover in cup because you're basically out. Simple as that. If Celtic had to go and lose to Dundee at the weekend, they've still got four games to recover to win the league. So there's a different type of pressure on cup football to league football.
Just going back to that Joe Hart clip that we played, do you care that he took a penalty? A lot's been made of it. Some people are saying not having it at all. Other people don't mind so much. What was your verdict?
If you've seen the Man City game on the Wednesday night, and Ederson goes and slams a penalty, and I think goalkeepers work so hard on their kicking and their technique, so I wasn't surprised to see it. A little bit was, see when Iwata went up and then put his in, the way he put his in, I thought, you could have maybe actually took the penalty ahead of the goalkeeper. But listen, they're confident enough to go up. Joe Hart, clearly you've listened to him there. He's confident enough. I mean, it wasn't a great penalty. It was, he says he pulled it. It was like one of my golf shots. He pulled it that much.
I'm not getting caught up with the penalty kick, right? I'm not, because, and see this, people will go, well, he's not good with the ball at his feet. Remember, that ball was stationary. It's not like somebody sent a pass back to him and there's a striker closing him down. He was confident enough to stand up. I'll bet you Joe Hart bangs him in left, right and centre in practice and training.
Well, that's why he's taking it, isn't it? Because he's practiced, you know.
So I've not got a problem all of a sudden because somebody thinks, oh, it's a goalkeeper. Oh, he's missed. It shouldn't have happened. I don't buy that.
I thought spending Tuesday night with these two was going to drag in, quite frankly, but it's that time already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
And a chance for you to get a victory on Beat the Pundit as well. The Hannah Man, he got a 10 last night. Yeah, heard it.
I was in the car.
You sent him in a barrage of abuse.
He should.
X-rated message.
Don't deduct him points. Just reduce that napper he has. He's got too much in there. Have you seen the size of his? You know what I mean? Get the clamps and just reduce that
anyway,
head he has.
No such issues tonight, although Kenny still does have his 100% record. 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Live radio, that happens. It's to be expected. It's not the end of the world. But when it cuts Gordon DL's break by a good 2 or 3 minutes, and he's got less time to sit back in his chair and yawn and get his feet up and reminisce about all the time he spent in the bushes at the golf earlier, that's when we've got problems. That was quick.
How ridiculous.
We're back with a bang.
I think people's heads should roll for that.
To those who listen on the podcast tomorrow, you will have no idea what's going on, but you were just getting relaxed there. We've come back.
Yeah,
I was going to say we've come back from the news earlier than normal. I don't even think we got the news.
Didn't get an advert. Didn't get news.
Because you are, well, you know, you love your current affairs. You're big on, you know, your politics, your global issues and stuff.
Yeah.
So you were being disappointed not to hear that.
Yeah, I watch Question Time often. You a Question Time man?
No, can not at all.
What channel's on?
BBC One.
It's not bad.
And the ground the diff. Usually, is that Monday?
I don't think so. I'm not sure right enough. It's been a while since I watched, but no.
The good round different cities and towns. Is that Thursday? I'm quite into going.
Keep going, you'll get there. Yeah. You'll eventually get the right day again.
Who's the Prime Minister?
Well, the boy done it down.
Genuinely, who is the Prime Minister?
I don't know. She's like, God, what do you call?
Seriously, that's not one of the Beat the Pundit questions.
No, I'm not getting involved in this.
I tell you what, he could get involved and he could enlighten us who that picture is.
Oh yeah, there's a mystery picture in the studio. We don't know who it is, but we'll maybe get back to that. Seriously, one last chance to the Prime Minister.
You know, listen, I'm not getting involved in
this. Oh, let's hope that's a sign of things to come for on Beat the Pundit. Let's play.
He doesn't think I know who the Prime Minister is.
I think somebody's got their bring your way into work day or something, and somebody's in there
big Richie on the phone.
Just pressing the buttons through there.
I'm very confused. Because we're just sitting in, we're in the dark, we have no idea what's going on. I'm scared.
Have we played Beat the Pundit? My goodness. Best football news and opinion online.
thescottishsun.co.uk/football. The good news is that was the right Beat the Pundit music. The bad news is people clearly are in there with their pants on fire trying to fix things. So there is no Beat the Pundit contestant. We might have Beat the Pundit music, but there's nobody to play against. So you might need
to
play each other. But the looks of it, they're trying to line someone up, but there's like 5 of them there by the looks of it.
Bring them all.
It's a team effort. Last night was good. It was a
I heard it. Brilliant.
Did you? Right. It was like a partner combo. Oh, you heard it?
Yeah.
The partner combo, and it was the female voice at first, and she just passed the phone over after a few questions.
It was reminiscent of the League Cup final 2010, a Super Ali who took the thing, and then Walter just thought, you know what, we're down to 9 men, that's it, I'm taking over here.
It was exactly like that, but it did end up in a victory.
Do you know, Kenny and I have never been beat the times we've been on here.
Is that right?
Never been beat, mate.
Have you got that stat? Is that factual? 100%. Where you go.
What's that, like 3 times or something?
Oh, no. A few times, Hold on. Who won last week?
Thursday night's a disaster zone at the moment. You two are losing every week.
Wilson brings me down, mate. You're like Dessers. You know how we meet and play.
Jeez. Right, anyway, Stuart's in Greenock. How's it going, Stuart?
Thanks.
Have you ever played before?
No, I haven't.
Right, I'm not even going to ask who you want, because one of them's got 100% record, one of them's around about 50. So,
Kenny, I can assure you that.
Yeah, I believe you, Stuart. Don't you worry. Heads will be Kenny, tails it is Gordon DL. And there we go. Take that camera. Can you see it? It is a heads. Are we all in agreement? None of your mourning tonight.
Oh, he's happy tonight now. He's not going to.
Oh, that's true.
That one.
Yeah, Kenny Miller heads. So.
Oh, did you think that was me there?
Yeah, I don't know.
I know you did. I could see that face of yours just lighting up.
Anyway, fine. I don't mind.
Come on, Kenny.
Kenny's capable of.
Got you.
Yeah. 30 seconds about to go on the clock. So let's give Kenny some greatest hits radio to listen to. And you've got
perfect. Thank you very much, Callum Gallagher. Yes. Checking in.
I don't even know if people can hear what I'm hearing in my ear. I'm like Robert Snodgrass at the weekend. I don't know if you saw that on TV. I'm hearing other DJs in this radio station in my ear, but I think we're fine. It's all good. Stuart, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm
30
ready.
30 seconds on the clock. Wow. And your time starts now. Who won last season's Scottish Championship?
Indeed.
How many Japanese players are in Celtic's first team squad?
4.
In what year did Michael Higden win PFA Player of the Year?
2017.
Which two Scottish clubs has David Witherspoon played for this season?
Aberdeen and Motherwell.
Who beat Rangers in this season's Champions League playoff? I heard that, to be fair, Stuart. I did hear it. I know the line broke up, but let's bring back Kenny Miller. Can you hear us, Kenny?
No, what was going on there?
Oh, who knows?
Like, what was going on? Because I was watching that clock by, and I'm
going
full Andy Halliday.
It was just, there was just more technological drama.
Ah, right, okay.
Yeah,
before.
By the way, you need to be on your toes tonight.
Are you ready, well, Kenny?
Let's do it. Yep.
Your time starts now. Who won last year's Scottish Championship?
Dundee.
How many Japanese players are in Celtic's first team squad?
Five.
In what year was Michael Higden voted Scottish PFA Player of the Season?
2013.
Which two Scottish clubs has David Witherspoon played for this season?
Inverness, Dundee United.
Who beat Rangers in this season's Champions League playoff?
PSV Eindhoven.
At what club did Jim Goodwin start his managerial career?
Alloa.
Gala Bank is the home to which Scottish League One side?
Annan.
Sunshine the Leith Lynx is the mascot of which club?
Hibs.
I honestly feel like they're stitching me up with the mascot questions. They all sound so made up, but it must be. Stuart, what do you think?
I think I might have been beaten a wee bit.
Just a wee bit. Says Stuart. I wonder.
You'll bund out of bed in the next 5 minutes, mate.
Let's see if there's a chance that
bothering me as well.
We go for the are we gonna go for the 10 for the second night?
Okay, you're on the far off, Kenny.
Last season's championship winner, Dundee. You got that, Stuart, though. Well done. You were on the board, and I don't know if, just kind of guessed, you weren't too far out. Kobayashi, Iwata, Hitate, Kyogo, Maeda, 5. Kenny got
just
it.
Just a guess.
My wee boy, Kobe.
Ah, Stuart, I feel for you because Kenny's just guessed and he's got it right. There's not much.
It's an educated guess. I knew they were kind of running about that number.
Was Michael Higden an educated guess?
Absolutely. It was just
don't tell me he's got that right.
Bang on, 2013.
Oh my God, I thought it was earlier.
That makes me sick. Cause
that was just two shots in the dark. I'll put the
other chances.
Oh, you're going for a 10, mate. You're going for a big Roger.
3-1. David Witherspoon's played for Dundee United and Inverness. 4-1. Stuart's line broke up, but I am an honest man. I could hear it because I've got the benefit of the big cans on. I know if you're in the car or something, you might not. He did say PSV Eindhoven, didn't you, Stuart?
Yes, I did.
So you got another one on there, but so did Kenny. 5-2 to Kenny. And that was Stuart's last question. On he goes.
Nightmares.
Jim Goodwin, Alloa, Gala Bank, Annan, Sunshine, the Leith Lynx,
Hibs.
Hibs.
Yeah. Right, many's that.
The next question is so ridiculous as well.
I've had a couple of these as well.
Right, let's go to the 10. Give me my tension. No, in fact, don't give me the tension music. Because whatever button is pressed in there could take us off air for 6 weeks. Don't press any buttons. But
you
let's
had a
go.
10 before me.
That's Rihanna, by the way.
Yeah, Rihanna.
That's nice. That's nice.
Kenny's gone for 11.
But do you know what's annoying, right? Because it's like that in joke. I don't know if the listeners at home can hear Rihanna. Yeah. Or is it just me?
Yeah. It's a YTS in there. Tell him to go up the road.
It was actually Sia. But this is the thing. If you're listening at home and you can't hear that, you're saying, what are those three unprofessional idiots talking about?
Are you talking about us? Are they three in there?
Oh, who knows? Right, let's go for the 10. True or false? Partick Thistle's Brian Graham also owns Graham's Dairies.
False.
The milkman? No. Yeah, it's false, obviously. And he just giving it the same again.
Right, go.
How many managers have been in charge of Aberdeen this season?
Barry Robson, Neil Warnock, and so 3.
It's a 10 again. I hate it when the pundits get the 10. Second night in a row. We need to at least start making number 10 particularly difficult.
Yeah. You should, shouldn't you?
Anyway, Stuart, well done, thank Kenny. You for taking good part. Man. You cannot grumble with losing to a man who didn't get a single question wrong.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stuart and Greenup.
That was short and sweet, baby.
On
Stuart.
The line.
I'll not be phoning back.
I'll tell you what, now, from Greenock, a lovely part of the world. How's about this from William Poole? Tell DL his dulcet tones are ruining this beautiful view here in Rio de Janeiro.
Oh.
And look at this, he sent. That is sickening. I mean, you and I were on the Bonnie Banks today and it was lovely, but look at that.
What time's it over there?
Don't know, but it's still lovely. Daylight by the looks of
it.
Shannon and John confirming the people on and Craig, the people on YouTube can hear all this random music that just keeps appearing, which is good. At least it's not just like the voices.
Making us look stupid.
The voices in the heads. Let's try and fix things. 0141 951 1025. If you call us now, Hopefully, we'll get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Is it full-time teaser time? Is it not? Will there be another break in a few minutes? Will we not?
Dale's just saying to me he's getting paid double the night for the amount of talk time we're having to go through.
Absolute mystery. Seriously, I like it though, because listen, you do this, the format, you know, you get used to it, it just keeps you on your toes.
I've been on this show that long, I'm used to the breaks. I know 20 past we're on a break.
Somebody brings your coffee.
Yeah. So we're now, we're out of sync here.
We're more than out of sync, honestly. 0141951 1025, that is the number you need. Give us a call right now. I think that's the bit that should be in control. Let's just take some calls. Let's talk football, and we will get through it together, hopefully, and see how we get on. But yeah, give us a call or send us a tweet. You could do that as well at Clyde SSB. Before Beat the Pundit, which was an easy win for Kenny, we were very much still kind of, you know, going over the weekend and what does it all mean for the title race and all that sort of stuff. So do get your calls over if you want to continue that. That other topic that we floated at the start of the show, it looks like the Euros squad will be increased to 26. Now, we've got injury issues as it is, and there could be an extra three spaces. So I wonder if you've got any left field shouts, any uncapped players that could sneak in, or is Steve Clarke more likely to return to guys that haven't been capped in a few years but have been part of his plans before? What are you thinking about who the makeup of that squad, what the makeup of that squad might look like? That could be a nice wee debate for us. Kenny Miller has been scribbling frantically. He's got about 43 names down, so that would make it tough.
He needs two planes.
And Gordon Dyell hasn't written a single name. So, that kind of shows you what we're, how it tends to work in here. But 0141 951 1025. Let's hear a bit from Cyril Dessers. He was spoken about a lot already tonight and pretty much every other night on the show. This is what he had to say in the aftermath of that game on Sunday.
I think my performance was okay, was good. I think could have been better with a few moments, but overall, like I said, when you score two goals, you cannot complain too much. Yeah, obviously after the past week, you feel the pressure from outside, but actually inside our dressing room, we kept calm and we know what to do. And if you see what we did the last months, everybody saw what we can be capable of and what we can do on the pitch. And it was just the thing to find this rhythm back, this vibe back, and then I think we can do beautiful things the next weeks as well. I love this club. I love being here. I love living here. I love everything about it. It's not an easy club, but this club is so beautiful, and you want to do well for it. You want to give these fans, if you see, look at the atmosphere today, it was amazing. You want to give them something back, and I think we gave something back. But obviously, then you're also thinking about the next games in the league and the final, of course.
I like that because, by the way, English is impeccable, so good. But just those subtle differences, I'm just imagining you in your pomp saying, like, this is just beautiful. It's just a beautiful club. Yeah. But yeah, listen, he's clearly not let the stick get to him, Kenny. We can all agree on that. Whether that is he is the man who can carry Rangers forward for the next few, I don't know. You know, time tells on that. There was a lot of praise and defence for him earlier, and you were part of it, but you know, but we got a tweet in saying, from Craig, saying he's got 13 league goals and 30, it's not good enough. Hearts main striker's got 21 and 32. That's for a team out with the Old Firm. Rangers need a more clinical number 9. But he's certainly, the fact that he's still in this conversation, the fact that it's still even debatable, and amongst a lot of the stick he's had, is that testament to the character?
You know, I think there was a spell at the start, like I said, he's been in for so much criticism right for the first ball's been kicked, and I thought it was affecting him a little bit. I then think he's been there every single week and he's had to be. Danilo's been injured, Roof's kind of been injured more often than not. Silva's been brought in to potentially, and he did play as a number 9 initially, but clearly wasn't a number 9. So Cyril Dessers has had to front up, he's had to be the focal point of that team pretty much the whole season, and he's not went hiding. You know, he still works. By the way, he still approaches every game with a smile on his face, despite what fans are saying. It could easily eat away at you and it could affect you. What he's done is, go and say, good strikers have to keep putting themselves in there. You know, you're going to get chances, you're going to miss chances, you're going to score. But he's constantly put there. You also, I've seen over the years, guys take themselves out of that situation, maybe come a wee bit more withdrawn away from the goal and not put themselves into the mix to kind of miss chances and make mistakes, whereas he's not done that. You know, he's missed a lot of chances. He's scored 19 goals today. By the way, he scored 13 league goals for that last tweet there. But by the way, it's actually, I think it's more than Celtic's top league scorer as well. So Shanklin's not only just scored more than Dessers, he's scored more than both sides of the Old Firm, you know, and everybody else in the league for that matter. So it's he's had a, in terms of goal scoring, Cyril Dessers a good season. In terms of consistently putting himself in there to get shot at and take the criticism, he's done it well. He's done it with a smile on his face. His interviews have always been really, really positive despite the criticism. So he's probably been treated a little bit unfairly because there has been a lot of the focus of the criticism has been at him this season, because the striker's a big position. You know, it's the hardest thing to do is score goals, and he's been at the front of that for the most of the season.
Let's bring in Andy on the line. What's your point tonight, Andy?
Hi, my point is this. Just to get the panel's thoughts, I've got two points. One is, I think we're probably watching two of the poorer Old Firm teams in the last maybe 10 years. I don't think the performances have been great. I think at times they've probably showed maybe just a wee bit of naivety. And the other point I've got is, do we think the Rangers are in chance or have a chance of blowing the league? Because I feel that Philippe Clement has overthought things.
Adair, how would Rangers blow Celtic are leading. How would Rangers blow it? As such, well, what do you mean?
I think Rangers were in pole position with us going to Ibrox. If they beat us at Ibrox, it would have been quite difficult for Celtic, from a morale point of view, to come back. I feel they didn't have the quality, obviously, to do that. But I also feel that was the start of showing maybe Philippe Clement's weaknesses, because I believe he overthought things a wee bit.
And they definitely had a slight edge, but if that was the case, would that not be Celtic having blown it from when Rangers had to change their manager and they were a shambles and Philippe Clement came in? So I don't know about blowing it, as the old cliche goes, the table never lies, whoever wins it deserves to win it. And
if Andy said that they've blown the league because of Dundee and Ross County, I would have sort of been on the same lines, because if they'd have won both those games, they're top of the league and they're in a good position going to Celtic.
Like I
say,
where do you take that back to, though? Because Celtic had a huge advantage. Yeah, so if Rangers were to go on and win it, did they blow it?
But I've got to say, when Rangers changed the manager, there were still a lot of games still to be played. You know, there's a long way to the end of season. Just now, there's only five league games, and Celtic are in pole position, you've got to say. Not with the fact that they're 3 points in front, but the next meeting is at their home pitch in front of, 60,000 supporters. So it slightly gives them an edge. I know that everybody then looks at the other fixtures and thinks, right, OK, where are the points going to be dropped? I don't see... Look, guys on this programme say, yes, Celtic and Rangers will both drop points. I'm not going to argue with that, but I don't see them drop many, because I think, you know, outside the Celtic Rangers game, there's only four to go. They know how important it is, and as much as I don't think this Celtic and Rangers team are the greatest squads I've ever seen, but I still think they've got good quality.
Yeah, those conversations are, I think they're quite awkward, Kenny. Like, it's so hard to predict or so hard to assess, really. And what do you gain from it? Is this the worst version of Celtic and Rangers? Well, in 2020, when Celtic seemed to be getting everything wrong and it was all falling apart and Rangers ran away with it, we were getting calls from Celtic fans then saying this is a really bad version of Celtic. But now Andy's saying it's the worst in the last 10 years. You were part of it within that last 10 years because of where Rangers were and where they'd been. That was a Rangers team that wasn't in a good place to be able to compete with Celtic. Yep. So is this team... is this Rangers team worse than the teams when Rangers first came into the Premiership? You wouldn't say so. I don't know. I know it's not been peak brilliance this season, but do we need to go down that road?
No, we don't. We've got a league title with five games to go. I think when the Old Firm game finished 3-3, I think both teams were pretty happy. You know, so this is now pre-Rangers dropping points to against Ross County and Dundee. Celtic always knew they had the last Old Firm game at Celtic Park with 60,000 fans. Against a team that they've already beat twice, home and away, and then they've got another away draw. So I think Celtic were still really confident about winning the league by winning that last Old Firm game at Celtic Park. Rangers were happy because they still had that game in hand and they still had opportunities to go 2 points clear. Since then, now Rangers have gave themselves a mountain to climb, because not only had they won the games, they could have went to Celtic Park and got a draw and still went on to win the league. Now, Rangers not only now need to go and win at Celtic Park, they probably now need to overturn their goal difference, which is not a lot, but Celtic can still go and score 3-4 goals against, whether it be a Dundee or a Hearts, St Mirren or Kilmarnock. And Rangers are going to have to outscore them as well. So they're not only going to have to beat them and claw back the 3 points, they're going to probably have to outscore them over these last five games as well. So it's, Celtic are definitely favourites, there's no doubt. And it's all based off the drop points of Ross County and Dundee. There's no getting away from that. So it's in Celtic's hands now. Have Rangers blew it? Well, to an extent, yeah. But like you say, Celtic had also done it previously. So with five games to go, it's all we play for. Ultimately, Rangers are going to have to go to Celtic Park and win, in my opinion. You know, and I said it was going to be that. I thought those two Old Firm games, I actually couldn't see them dropping points, Rangers or Celtic. Again, what do I know? I was wrong. They dropped points in two games consecutive. I just can't. I've got that big game start as Kilmarnock away. You know, I look at that. They've done great against Celtic and Rangers at home this season. So that would be the one game, if you're a Rangers fan, you can look at that and think, right, okay, going down to Kilmarnock, who are probably going to be fourth in European football, that's a big test.
I don't like it, Andy. I think it's very negative, but it's up to you. It is your phone call. You really think this Celtic team is worse than the one from, say, 2021? Shane Duffy was struggling, and Diego Laxalt, and Ismaila Soro was in there, and Nir Beaton was coming at the end, and that sort of stuff. You think this team's worse?
I think 2021 was a unique season down to COVID. I think Celtic really, really suffered with that. I also think that there were players there at that time who maybe had been promised a move and didn't get one. As regards Kenny's point about the two Old Firm games, I actually don't believe Celtic need to win that Old Firm game to win the league, because I don't believe that. I think Rangers will drop points at St Mirren, if I'm being completely honest. And I think as long as Celtic win at Dundee, I think we'll feel happy going in against Hearts and Rangers, because it's, Celtic tended to flick a switch maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago at Livingston when we got Hitati. The second game we got Carter Vickers back. It gave us a wee bit of stability. You know, I think probably what we've seen in Saturday in the semi-final was guys that came back off an injury and maybe just a wee bit leggy after coming back in for a couple of weeks. You know, so, you know, the semi-final was the semi-final, but I'm fully confident. I don't believe that Celtic, if I'm being completely honest, will drop any points going into the next five games.
I think that's why Hugh Keevans is the world's worst at prediction, so we'll leave that to him. But I know why you said earlier that, you know, you think it's all going to come down to that Old Firm game, and loads of people are saying it. But maybe Andy is onto something. It's not now because of what Rangers did in the last couple. It's not outrageous to think that it might not, actually. It might not be that far. You know, you're talking just maybe one more set of drop points, and Rangers could still go on and win it if Celtic were to keep their end of the bargain. There's loads of ifs here, right? So I get that. I'm not trying to say that is all going to happen, but it's now not as critical as it could have been. But depending what they do against other opposition,
yeah, I think a lot of people will be in the same boat, saying that there will be points dropped. But up until this game, Celtic Rangers, I look at the fixture. St Mirren come on for Rangers. Yep, good size. Come on, it's been brilliant. St Mirren have done very well indeed. Dundee, we've seen them the other night there, especially at home on that pitch. Dundee are a good outfit, especially in the middle of the park. To get to the top six has been a great achievement. Hearts at home, well, you never know what you're getting with Hearts. I can't see Rangers and Celtic dropping points in the two games. And that's why I think I'll come down to Celtic Park.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I'm here to... You only make your own opinion.
Over the five, you think neither of them drop points in the four games.
I don't think.
Or are you just talking before that?
Before that, meeting. I think Rangers will beat St Mirren and Kelly, and I think Celtic will beat Dundee and Hearts, and I think that's where the title will come into the Celtic part. I think that'll be an absolute cracker. Okay. I could be wrong, but that's only my opinion.
I think there's every chance. Thank you very much to Andy, 01419511025. Give us a call, and I'll give these to a full time teaser as well. What about your thoughts on a 26-man Scotland squad? Who could squeeze in there? who are the wild cards, if you like, that might get added. Let us know. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Kenny Miller and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. And lots of calls. Sometimes wonder in the build up to these shows. Is it going to be a bit quiet tonight? Is anything breaking really happening in Scottish football? But I should know by now. It is never quiet. Still talking about the Scottish Cup semi-finals. Everybody seems to be talking about the title race. What else is on your mind though, Matt? This could be a perfect opportunity between now and the end of the show. If there's something that's really different from those topics, why not share it? And what we said just before the break there, it looks like UEFA will increase the squad size from 23 to 26 for the Euros. Lewis Ferguson won't be going. Nathan Patterson, unlikely. Stuart Armstrong, question mark. Aaron Hickey, perhaps, still question mark. So that might actually free up not only one or two spaces, but quite a few. So I wonder what sort of names you would throw at us at this early stage, who you think might be a good shout to get included if it is a 26-man squad. Whilst you get your thinking caps on, let's do this.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors, approved by Trust a Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
Okay, thanks to David in the Gorbals for sending this in, and it is topical, which I always like, apart from this season. Since 2018-19, seven players out with the old firm have been chosen in the Premiership Team of the Year. Who are they? So, before this season, but since 2018-19, only seven players out with the old firm have been picked in the Scottish Premiership PFA Team of the Season. Do me a favour, because you're particularly bad for this. Don't just go name every single player that you can think of. Let's try and be specific. Let's go through the seasons. Who was good in that season?
Adam Rooney.
What I will give you just as a bit of a hint, he's straight off, isn't he? No.
He's not been here since that time, has he?
It's Rishi Sunak, by the way, who's the Prime Minister.
Prime Minister.
Did you? You have that one under control, did you? Okay.
That's why I watched Question Time.
Not that this will help you, because you're just throwing random names at me. The 2021 season was all Rangers and Celtic, so there's none from that season. And I don't think they did it in the 1920 season because of COVID. So since 2018-19, seven players out with the old firm have been chosen in the Team of the Year. It doesn't include this season, so no Theo Bear or Bojan Miovski.
Gordon.
Craig Gordon, two seasons ago for Hearts, yes.
Good shit. I knew there was a goalie in there.
Last season, not be a good place to start. Who were the outstanding?
Shandland.
No. Who were the
Miovski?
No. Right, no, but no. You're nearly
Duke.
There then. Yes.
Oh, Duke, yep.
And
just Fez, you see what assisted you there?
Was
obvious one.
Lewis Ferguson in there?
No. Oh. Who was the outstanding non-old firm player last season?
Who was it then?
Who did he play for?
We're too early for clues.
I like clues, mate.
I mean, too early for that, yeah.
He was on the shortlist for the four, never mind being in the team of the season. He was on the four. Player of the year.
Van Veen.
Kevin Van Veen. There we go. What a season he had, don't you forget it.
Look,
right?
The outstanding player outside the old firm. Come on, just quite a Motherwell player. Come on.
He
now.
Was so good last season. There's no point in lying about it. Okay, Duke, Van Veen, and Gordon. We'll get back to it between now and the end of the show. Thank you to David and the Gorbals. And if you like the sound of that, you want to submit a question, it's fulltime@clyde1.com. That's the name of the game. As you send the questions in, the pundits try and figure out the answers. And they can be like that. They can be straightforward. They can be topical. They can be wacky. Did you hear last night's?
No.
It was X amount of players who shared their initials with a member of the Beatles.
Yo, right.
And have scored goals in the Premiership or whatever. So like Joe Ledley, John Lennon, that sort of thing. It was
Ringo, Rudy Scatchell, Ringo Starr.
Paul McGowan was in.
Rudy Scatchell, Ringo Starr.
Yes. Anyway, what have we done last night's teaser? You probably did hear it.
Face. I'm a believer. That was the Monkees.
That's what it is.
What was the Monkees in a song?
How many famous Beatles songs did you have to choose from there? So many.
I had to be me. Balotelli, DL.
We
Oh, what's the monkey's one? Ellis on her face.
Oh, could he go, I hate Jude. Could he,
That's what you missed, Roger Hanna's dad joke on that last night. Clearly you weren't listening.
No, no, I
tried to set it up
night
for Andy Halliday, something about they closed John, Andy, did you hear they closed John Lennon Airport? Imagine all the people. I mean, just shocking.
Oh, good one.
Disgraceful.
Big Roger is quite witty.
Oh my
when
word.
You're not listening.
Anyway, right, keep the calls coming as well. 01419511025. What about that then? Go on, you two, if no one's nibbling on the phones just now. 26 man squad potentially for the Euros. What does it mean, Kenny? Whose summer plans might change?
Well, I don't know specific names on that, because I've got the squad that I've got down is probably what, 25, 26 names, and you've got those injuries that you were mentioning. But what there'll be a few lads that will be rubbing their hands together now that might have just been debatable that'll probably now go, because there's a three man extra, maybe more, maybe four or five extra with the injuries. I think what it also allows is, it maybe allows Steve Clarke to, for instance, a Stuart Armstrong who's out with a muscle injury, if he's a 6-8 weaker, which would have been touch and go, but he might be back training at that moment and he might be able to play a part at some point, you might be allowed to take him now. You might be able to just to still take him without kind of worrying too much about it, because you've got those extra bodies there. So there's a few things. And again, I'm trying to wrap my brain, who could potentially make a late run? Who could be a surprise that's maybe an uncapped player or somebody who's just had an outstanding season and forcing their way back into it? I would like to think you would be looking at maybe more top end of the pitch players, difference makers, guys that if you're needing a goal and you need to change the game in a positive way, that he maybe looks at, again, whether you've said that, or maybe a Ryan Fraser comes back in, he's having a good season, playing at a really good level, again, he's experienced international football. Guys like that might now come into the reckoning.
Yeah, I know there were sort of differences in opinion, if you like, with Ryan Fraser. I wonder about players like that, Gordon. A combination of more spaces in the squad, and if it is Armstrong plus Ferguson in that area, you've got a real opening there anyway, even if it was the same size squad. What's more likely? Would Stevie Clarke, in your mind, go back to a Ryan Fraser? Maybe even a James Forrest? Now, I know he's not even a main player for Celtic. This is a bad time to say that when he's had such a contribution at the weekend. But, you know, if it's part of a 26-man squad, that's a big squad and players that maybe make a difference. Again, if it's the attacking midfield area, I'm thinking about players that have been capped in the past. David Turnbull. I mean, Tom Kearney would still plays at a good level, but that would be even more surprising, probably, given how long it's been since he was capped. Is that what's more likely to happen? Or are we allowed to throw random uncapped players and think that might be a possibility?
If I'm sitting there and I've got the luxury of a few other players, I would be looking at the tournament that you need to go tactically. I don't think we've got what I call wingers in our team that can change us to, for instance, a 4-3-3.
Has Steve Clarke got any desire to do that, though,
Gordon, what was the last game that he ended up going to a back four and the wide guys were midfield players, with guys like John McGinn playing the right? So what I'm saying, in a tournament, you might have to, if things aren't going right, that trusted 3-5-2 or 3-5-1-1, whatever formation, but we always like to play the three. Sometimes as a manager, to have the luxury of just, and especially with, you know, more players that you can add to your squad, to say, do you know what? This isn't working. We need a bit of width. We need a bit of pace. We need to get up the pitch. We're under a bit of pressure. So me personally, with the fact that he's got that now at his disposal, I'd be looking at wide players that can change the formation.
Funny how things can change. There was a time when we were saying, even if it's a 23-man squad, find a place for Ben Doak.
Yeah.
But he's been injured.
Well, that was the one I was going to kind of bring up again. It's just such a shame.
Because
that gives you the luxury that, you know what, Steve Clarke could have heard, right, my 23-man squad, that's what it is. Oh, yeah, man, I've got an extra three.
Yeah.
We've got an extra three players now. Absolutely. Let's bring this lad who, winger, pace to burn, could absolutely threaten anybody with that kind of pace. Then it might have been a no-brainer. Like you say, he's been injured. That's why Gordon makes a really, really good point. We will play the 3-4-2-1, the 5-4-1 against the ball. Absolutely, that's the way we will play, and it's served us really, really well. But if we're needing to change the game and go and get the word. Losing 1-0, for instance, to Hungary, we need to win to go through. Or we're drawing 1-1 or 0-0 for that matter, and we need to win to have a potential chance to go through. Right, centre back off. We need now ball carriers, wingers, guys that can go and create. Mm-hmm. We actually don't really have a lot of that within the squad.
A few coming in on Twitter. So the Scottish Superman says they have to take Ben Doke fit. Massive wild card, tricky and quick, something we lack. I don't know what the fitness situation is. Back training, I think, because I'm sure I saw some social media clips of Andy Robertson welcoming him back to Liverpool training or something like that. Ian Thompson says Lennon Miller. Lennon Miller's not played for the 21s. That's possible, by the way. Some people jump. Mm-hmm. He's usually in the 19s squad. I know the 21s have got a couple of friendlies coming up, so that might be one to look at who
does well there.
Who's in that? Paul Gray says talented youngsters for the experience. Doke, Max Johnson. Max Johnson might find himself closer than he thought anyway because of the Nathan Patterson, Aaron Hickey scenario. Doesn't play all the time though for Sturm Graz, although I think he did have quite a good contribution at the weekend. Josh Doig, Rory Wilson. Again, Rory Wilson is, for those who don't know, was a young striker at Rangers, went to Aston Villa, does seem to score a lot of goals for Aston Villa's youth teams, but still quite young.
Not on the
periphery even really. What else have we seen? Does that just, and that's the kind of, it's the exciting discussion. It's fun to come up with these names. Is the boring answer, no disrespect to these guys, that it just means that Jacob Brown and Lauren Shanklin go, when before you maybe thought it was one of them?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then, maybe there's just room then. We weren't sure if it was going to be John Souter or Liam Cooper, and I'm just plucking names. So they both go. You know, is it more likely to be that?
I think there has to be, it has to be position specific. I think when you go through all the defenders that you've got and the different combinations that we've actually played over the last few months even, like, I don't think you've been, for me anyway, if I've got three extra players that I can now bring, I'm not just going, right, one defender, one midfielder, one attacker. I'm going to be really, I don't think we need to take any more defenders. I think you have to be looking, because see, if we needed to go defensive to protect a 1-0, we've got enough bodies that can do that. But have we got enough bodies that can go make a difference at the top end of the pitch? Again, something different to what we've gone, something has to mean we're going a different way, we're playing more attacking players in the team. That's where I would be looking to do it.
Chris and Kilwinning, give us a name.
What are you doing at Plymouth Argyle? Ryan Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
He's been playing quite well. I believe Andy was playing quite well last season as well. You're looking for something different up top. Well, he's obviously confident he'll be in a great run of form, and he's a wee bit different for your London Knights and your Shanklin. So why not? It's a bigger squad, so why not get him in?
Yeah, I've seen it mentioned previously. He's got 13 goals in the Championship, which is pretty good. It's not exactly for a brilliant Championship side, so does that make it more impressive? Maybe bad timing, he's not scored in his last 10 as we have this conversation now, but that would be a good return for a Scottish player in the Championship. It'll be more than Lyndon Dykes, obviously, although it's not all, Lyndon Dykes isn't there for his goal scoring numbers.
Yeah, I know Ryan well. He was a young lad at Rangers, played a few games actually in the first team as well, worked with him with the 20s. He's lightning quick. You know, he's a player that'll always look to stretch the game deep. You know, he'll constantly, he's not really too interested in getting involved in link up. Again, it's something we'll always kind of look to work on with him, but he's got pace to burn, you know. And if you're looking for somebody to stretch the game and create spaces for the likes of McGinns and Armstrongs and Christie, then he's someone that can do that. He's another player that's not been capped. He was maybe talked about going into these last couple of squads. Again, Steve Clark's overlooked him, he's not put him in. He's a different option. I mean, Chris is bang on. He's completely different to any of the other forwards you've got, because he is, honestly, he's on the shoulder, running beyond. He'll run channels all day long, and he's lightning quick. So it does bring something different.
I wonder if the easiest players to compare are players that are playing at the same level, because it's so tough to go from different divisions. Also in the Championship, Tommy Conway, Bristol City, 11 goals, but a current member of the Scotland under-21 squad. Wonder if that makes him more likely.
Well, he's in the system, isn't he? And he'll know exactly what he's capable of. And if he's got something within his game that he can add value to that first team squad. And by the way, are the qualities, can he transfer them? And which is, by the way, a huge step,
massive,
up, an absolute massive. I know it's only one step away in terms of teams, but it's a massive, massive step up to go from playing 21s into the first.
So you definitely like to prioritise, like, attackers, Chris, or game changers, or people that we've maybe not seen before?
Well, really, people we've not seen before, because I know Steve Clarke's quite loyal to the guys that, you know, that he could name the guys in the squad, because probably I'll name the 21 of them, at least. Mm-hmm. But I think as a country, we're too scared to put in the young guys that are obviously doing it for the clubs. We're far too scared. But other countries do it. Spain do it. You know, Holland do it. So why not us? We've got players that are good. And obviously, they could bring something different to the game. So yeah. I don't see why we couldn't get them in.
Look, I suppose Steve Clarke would just say he's just picking who he thinks is best. Ryan Hardy's 27 as well, so it's not like we're saying we'll take a chance on some young kid. But anyway, thanks to Chris. We'll get the rest of the answers to the teaser and more of your calls next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're on the home straight with Kenny Miller and Gordon Dalziel. We're asking you for your suggestions, if it does go to a 26-man Scotland squad for the Euros, who is worth a mention? Speaking of players that have had good seasons, thanks to David and the Gorbals, who wants you to name, before this season, obviously, since 2018-19, seven players out with the old firm have been picked in the PFA team of the season. Who are they? From last season, you got Duke and Van Veen. From the season before, you've got Craig Gordon, who was at Hearts at the time. Which means you've got four left to get.
Martin Boyle?
No.
Oh. Craig Halkett?
Yes, back to the 18-19 season. Yes, well done. Okay. Three to get.
Any more?
Did Liam Kelly get it at you?
No. So the 18-19 season you're looking for?
Three.
One from the 18-19 season. Mm-hmm. And from the 21-22 season, where you got Craig Gordon, you're looking for a central defender and a striker. Sort of forward. Yeah, striker.
Have you done well?
So that's two seasons ago, if you like.
I'm toiling.
One of them was right up there in the goal scoring charts that season.
It what, was 21-22?
Yeah. It wasn't a lot of goals, by the way. It was a really low bar. Yeah. But
And I can see him now. I can see where it is, because I think that's at the season that Tav finished top scorer with something like 17 or something.
No, I think this guy was joint with someone else. This guy was joint with a Celtic player, I think.
Team did play for.
If I give you that, you'll smash it. I'll just give you it anyway.
Aye.
It's north of Perth, I'll give you that. It's north of everywhere.
So, Ross Kearney. Billy Mackay?
White.
Brophy.
No, Charles Cook.
Regan Charles Cook.
Oh.
Yeah, he was on the shortlist, I think.
Just
for the
going for Brophy. He only went there 6 months ago.
I think he was one of the four, wasn't he, for the player of the season as well.
Oh, how did we not get him?
Ian is in Kilmarnock. Ian, if it was to be a 26-man Scotland squad, who would be worth a shout?
Well, hi guys. I'm just surprised that Danny Armstrong has not been at the front of people's voices. You know, I think that wee Burkey at Kilmarnock has made him such a better player. His number of goals and assists this season are very high. In actual fact, I think we are talking about the top end of anyone in the SPL, right? And he has been a revelation for Kilmarnock this season. We've beaten Celtic twice, drawn away, beat Rangers at home. And he has been, you know, at the heart of that. And I just think that having watched every team in the league, certainly from a Scotland perspective, he is the best winger out there.
It's not a bad shout. He's had a very good season. Could you see it? Especially if we're talking about, well, take a winger. If we're saying take a winger and James Forrest's not, you know, what he used to be in terms of involvement, and we don't know what Steve Clarke currently thinks of Ryan Fraser, and there aren't really many others, and Ben Doak's injured, all of a sudden is Danny Armstrong close?
I don't think it's the worst shout. I think he's been absolutely brilliant for Kilmarnock. I said it earlier, Gordon, if I had the choice and I was sitting there as a Scotland manager, I would take players, something different that can change games for me. And I'm talking not just coming off the bench and scoring your goal like a centre forward. We've got enough of them. We're flooded by midfield players. There's no out-and-out wingers that can turn a game by, you know, getting by defenders, stretching the game, getting us up the pitch, changing the formation. So me personally, I would look at players that we don't have available. We've got plenty of defenders that we can get into a back four, a back three. We've got plenty of midfield players we can play a box, a diamond, whatever way you want to play it. We've got plenty of centre forwards that have got different, you know, attributes. But we've not got any really wingers that can hug the touchline, stretch a game, give us a bit of width. So, yeah, I think Armstrong would have been there as good as anybody because he's been absolutely brilliant. Look at season Kilmarnock's had.
I agree. You know, I think, again, I am a big believer that we should take players that are different to what we've got. See, the thing about Danny Armstrong as well is he's had a wonderful season player. He's put a shift in as a wing back in certain games as well.
Which he happened to play.
Yep. Again, so if you needed to go
on, maybe at that level.
Yeah,
but
again, it's bringing a quality. He's a ball carrier. He's, whether he plays on the right or the left, if he's playing on the right, he's got that chopping and got the delivery with the left. Again, depending on what your forward is, you might look for that type of service for a Lyndon Dykes and a John McGinn arriving in the box. He's had a really, really strong season. But also I think there is a flexibility to him where he could play in one of these positions. Yep, it's a big step up. If you needed to change and go wingers with a forward, or by the way, right, we're putting two forwards on and two wingers because we need to go and chase a game and get back in it, he could be one of them. But I also think he's clever enough that he can also play in that 3-4-2-1 in and around a striker. So I think it's a really, really good shout. Again, Steve Clarke will be fully aware Danny Armstrong. I mean, it's his old club. I'm sure he keeps an eye on that as well.
And he's been one of our outstanding performers. Surely, if there's one part of the country Stevie Clarke would take a look at, it's down your way.
Well, I'd like to think so. I mean, if you look at what Stevie Clarke did in terms of a coach, Stevie O'Donnell's a classic example, isn't he? I mean, he made him such a good player, an international player. Nearly scored that goal at Wembley. Danny Armstrong is different gravy, and I'm worried that somebody will sign him. So maybe I shouldn't be on this call, but I think he can be a game changer, and I think that Stevie Clarke, he wouldn't have missed him. Sometimes Stevie Clarke, I think Stevie Clarke's God, right? But sometimes he can be too loyal. Occasionally can be, and I'm seeing that a wee bit, you know, at the Scotland setup just now. I think he needs to break out. And I think Danny Armstrong is your man to potentially, really an understated big guy, can change games. And I think we really need to, if there's 26 players going there, he's about one of them.
It's a good shout, Ian. Thank you very much on 01419511025. It was perfect timing. That brings us to the end. But seven players out with the Old Firm have been chosen in the team of the year since 2018-19, doesn't include this season, obviously. Duke, Van Veen, Craig Gordon, Regan Charles Cook, Craig Halkett, two to get.
Portis?
No. What about a player who is now at Rangers or Celtic but wasn't in the 21-22 season when in central defence he did enough to get in team of the season? Oh, don't like your silence.
John Suter.
John Suter.
Is there an echo in here?
Yeah.
He's good at that one, just jumping on it when I've gave the answer.
Okay, Kenny. One answer, Miller.
18-19 was his season. Aberdeen, an old favourite of yours.
Shinney.
Graham Shinney. There we go. Good Thank plan. You to Gordon Dalziel and to Kenny Miller. We are back tomorrow. Looking forward to it already. 6 o'clock. Meet us right here and enjoy the rest of your night.